Welcome to the latest edition of K-Rock Football's Coaches Catch-Up. Here's your host, Tom King.
Like a number of his contemporaries, he's been in the role since 2019, but hasn't had a chance to coach his footy club. And he had a couple of options last year. Obviously, we were hoping the season would get up. He didn't. And then he took over the under-19 role, hoping that he might be able to coach some junior footy as well. And that didn't happen either. So fair to say, Pete Davey is really hanging out to coach Ocean Grove for the first time in BFL Senior Action. Round one, of course, against Torquay. Good Friday down at McCartney Oval. He's been good enough to join us in the K-Rock Studios. Hello, Pete.
G'day, Tom. Thanks for having me.
Are you desperate to coach this footy club? It feels like it's been the world's longest build-up to a coaching role.
I would have coached Auskick if that was available last year. Coach anywhere. Try the 19s, try 17s, 15s, anywhere would have been great. But yeah, really looking forward to it.
I've spoken to a couple of coaches who have been new to their roles and taking over clubs that need some work, and Ocean Grove's in that boat. And they actually weren't upset that year didn't happen, that you got a chance to, you know, connect with the players in a different way, get to know them without football being involved, but also do some education as well that was not necessarily face-to-face. It was, you know, Zoom became a wonderful thing. Is that how Ocean Grove was able to develop, do some development?
Not really. I think it's such an important year, particularly with the amount of under-19s we had. I sort of talking to one of our assistant coaches the other night and just said, look, a lot of these guys needed that top year of 19s to learn to dominate. So going from being a bottom age 19s player straight into senior footy, I think it's going to take a bit longer. So you can't change last year, but it would have been great. I think the best education is getting out on the ground and playing. Yeah, we've done what we can training wise and through video and stuff like that. But yeah, I would have much preferred. Well, everyone would have much preferred to play, but I think it was a really important year to play for our boys.
You've had two practice matches already. Did you deliberately go after three games to make sure that, you know, cobwebs were blown out? But I suppose the education of your players could take place as well.
We would have played four if we could. We had some match sim lined up as well, and we just couldn't get the date right for that. So exactly, we chose three quality teams to get three good hit outs.
Yep. Yeah. As we speak, you've played two already. Yep. Narnagoon, Bacchus Marsh, your old club. What did you take away from those two games?
Heaps out of Saturday. So Narnagoon was, I guess that was our first proper hit out in 14, 15 months or whatever. Oh, 12 months.
Yep. You got a couple of practice matches in last year before we shut down?
We got one in and we got some match sim in.
Yep.
Yeah. So as good as two games. So Narnagoon was always going to be scratchy because it was basically a throw magnets on a board and guys are still getting to know each other's names. We had a few new recruits who are still getting to know each other.
Yep.
Saturday was fantastic. We played Bacchus Marsh in the wet, and the whole piece around that was just you're playing a good player, just learn as much as you can, let them take you to the footy. And I've just done some vision today, and there's heaps we're taken out of it.
And you've got Melton South out of the Ballarat League as well. So you've gone a little bit higher in standard for your three games.
Yeah. And look, that's about education. We sort of thought if we can, our whole mantra is about, you know, competing, being at the contest and competing at the contest. And we figure if we could compete against good sides, we can compete against anybody. So, yeah, we certainly actively sought out good sides to play against.
So your under-19s or your Colts won Division 2 in 2019?
2019, yep.
So a lot of those kids will graduate now, basically the whole squad, you would suspect, because of the year off.
Yep.
Are we going to see a lot of those kids early at 2 o'clock?
Yeah, we will.
Or 4 o'clock on Good Friday.
That's right. We will. There's, I think we have recruited this year. I think last year we certainly said the 19s were going to be, and we still are, we're certainly investing in our youth. But I think last year it would have been potentially a little bit easier to get a game for the young guys coming through. There's a lot more competition for spots this year. But we'll probably, I looked at our side from 2019, one of the final games, and there's going to be probably four or five players playing round one from that side. So there's going to be a lot of new faces, a lot of them are young, under 20, and the others will be between that sort of 20 and 23 mark.
Okay.
With a few older ones.
That's a massive change. And then I suppose the good thing is the under-19 kids, they're one-pointers.
That's a challenge. So, you know, we identified what we wanted to go after this pre-season, and we've done that. The flip side is that, you know, not the flip side, but the downside is that you've got to squeeze all these three-pointers into 40 points. And that's, we're really upfront with players. And we said, look, this is going to be the situation. We don't want to hold you back from playing senior footy elsewhere, but just know you're going to be competing against guys for a spot.
seven ins, and I suspect they'll all play senior footy, but of those seven ins, one of those is Glenn Campbell, and I suspect, do you get him back to one or two?
He's one.
He's a one.
Yeah.
So that's gold, isn't it? That he's basically a recruit, although he didn't miss a season with you guys, but he was going, I think, was Macedon? Where he was going. He comes back as a one-pointer and a crucial one-pointer because he's that experience that you really need.
That's right, yeah. So his name came up early, David King and Heath Levis. So they were the assistant coaches in 2019 and took over. Dave is a massive rap for him. Yep. And he said, we just need to get Funk back in from an experience perspective. And I'd never met Glenn before until then, and he's been fantastic.
What can you tell us about Will Brome from North Bendigo?
So Will played in their premiership as a vice-captain up at North. He's a high half-forward midfielder. He'll probably play more midfield minutes for us than forward.
He'll enjoy the wide expanses of Shell Road.
He's a really good runner. The guys that we have brought in are good runners, and he'll love playing in the middle. Left-footer, knows where the goals are.
Bailey Cameron comes from Terrelgan. Yep. You and I have spoken, key defender, but that might not necessarily be his play.
Yeah, I think we're pretty set down back. We've got, it's one area that we're sort of blessed with key defenders. We're probably lacking that maybe third tall forward, and Bailey competes hard, and he'll be a good option for us up forward and potentially pinch hitting in the ruck.
Yep. Riley Hogarth was one I think you had it really early. He might have been an October or November signing.
I've coached Riley before. He contacted me last year and said he was really keen to come down. Unfortunately, Riley, he's come off a knee reco, and he's hurt at playing netball. I don't know why he's playing netball for, but he played some mixed netball and he's hurt his knee, so he may be missing for the first couple of weeks of the year.
It's not serious?
No, the graft is intact. It's more, I think it might be a meniscus bone bruising issue.
Right, fingers crossed you see him at some stage. Jack Rawlings, there's another one-pointer coming back. Spent some time at Old Geelong. Hasn't played a lot of footy recently, though. Some time travelling when you used to be able to travel.
Yeah, that's right. We spoke to Jack last year. Obviously, you try and get around your one-pointers that aren't at the club anymore. And we sold him the future of the club. And the timing wasn't right for him. He wasn't going to play footy at all last year. And then he contacted us about a month ago, 5 weeks ago, and said he liked where we're going and wants to help out. So
Tom Waters and Josh Wooding both come out of the VAFA.
Yep.
What do they bring to Ocean Reef?
They're both forwards. Josh is another really good runner. He's an elite runner. So he's probably more of your goal sneak that might push up to a wing.
Yep.
Tommy Waters is just classy. If you watch him move, he's just got all the time in the world.
Okay.
Sort of Scott Pendlebury in the forward line, a right footer.
Yep.
Scott is, he's class.
Your outs, Pete Hardy's gone to Thompson. Andrew Jarvis has also gone to Thompson. Caden Long to link up with a lot of Ocean Grove boys at with Mitch White at the GDFL Giants. James Linton's probably the other one as well, although your dealings with James have been minimal. You haven't really crossed paths with him.
I saw James in the paper, and that's the first time I've seen him. So I actually haven't spoken to James before. So again, he's one of those one pointers that you always, with the club was massively trying to get him back.
Yep.
I don't think there was ever a realistic option for him to come back and play at Ocean Grove.
So with Andrew Jarvis gone,
yep,
best ruckman in the comp, along with John Meeson in the last 4 or 5 years, wouldn't be a stretch at saying that. There's a lot of undersized ruckman too in the competition, but not selling them short, but who fills those very big shoes? And obviously 2019 he wasn't there.
Yeah.
Anyway, but you're going to have him in 2020. What's the plan there with replacing having a ruck stocks that's going to be competitive?
Yeah. So we've got young Kobe and Ann, who's been playing up in Darwin over the last season, played the summer season up there. He he was our under 19s ruckman.
Yep.
I think he finished 2 or 3 in the league medal. We sort of earmarked him to play as a third tall down back, just because of his age and his frame. We just didn't want to throw him in last year to the ruck. He's done a heap of work up in Darwin. He's put on, I think, about 5 or 6 kilos.
Yep.
By virtue of opportunity.
Yep.
He Sam Spencer, Sammy's 6'6", is an ex-basketballer, so he's pretty raw.
Yep.
Needs some work there. And then we've got Tommy Hobbs, who carried the ruck load in 2019. He's undersized, but he competes. So we're not... Look, we kind of figured it's ruckmen are rare and they cost a lot.
Yep.
And if you've got good one-pointers that you can work into the role, we'll invest in that rather than go and get a second-rate one that's expensive.
Yep. At the moment, there aren't, you know, a lot, you know, Bowen Heads won a flag with Matt Dyer
yep.
doing the ruck work, and you know, Anglesey have used Jackson Buse over the journey, and talking to a couple of other clubs, like, you know, finding a bloke that's 6 foot five and above that can genuinely ruck is not an easy task, is it?
It's generally a rule. If you can find someone 6 foot six that can fit into a pair of shorts, yeah, you get them on the list. Yeah.
And that's unfortunately not happening.
No, they tend to play basketball.
We've talked about this under 19 side, but have you somebody that, you know, 2019 that you first came across, start of pre-season, you know, might have been, you know, on the list somewhere between 16 and 30, but has,
yep.
you know, put their hand up, somebody's worked hard in lockdown and, you know, might reap the rewards with a senior debut or a, you know, chance in the ones come round one?
Yeah, there'll be a lot of debuts. Connor Pickett is one. He hasn't missed a... We've had four guys that haven't missed any night of training so far since we started back in early November. He's put on some size, so he's probably 6'3", and is a good running defensive midfielder. So we see a huge... a lot of upside with him, but he's put himself certainly in the frame where he'll play round one, and we expect him to go really well.
Your round one matchup is a big one. Torquay, Good Friday. You know, hopefully now a massive crowd with the cap lifted. It's now a 5,000 cap. I don't think we'll get near 5,000, but I suspect there'll be more than a 1,000 there. Do you feel that you're going to be on show a little bit and in the spotlight with a game like that? That, you know, your young blokes are, you know, there's going to be people on the Surf Coast. They're going to want a game of footy. There's no surfing on, so those looking for a bit of a sporting fix are going to be there. And, you know, Ocean Grove's going to be on show, I suppose. Do you have to rein your boys back in a bit? That, you know, yeah, this is a big occasion, but, you know, control your emotions and all that.
Yeah, I don't think so. I just let them go and have fun.
Yep.
Yeah, if they want to get excited about it, I think that's unreal. I mean, they've had 12 months of doing no footy.
Yep.
Yeah, and look out, we're not going to shy around the fact that we want to improve and then play finals consistently, and that means you're playing in front of crowds, and if that gets you going, I think that's great. I certainly won't tone the boys down at any stage.
Yep. Round two, Port Arlington at home, and you suspect that may be a night game?
I think it is.
Yep.
I think so.
Yeah, the fixture's still showing at 2:10. Motawarri and Newcombe to round out your opening month, but not really looking that far ahead.
We've got a practice match this week, yeah, and I'm looking forward to there.
The comp, have you started to get a feel for it? I know you lived in the region before you took on the Ocean Grove job, but are you starting to get a bit of a handle of who's who in the zoo and how to prepare for the opposition, or is it going to still take once you've played everybody once?
Yeah, not really. So David King knows the competition, yep, back to front, and I lean on him a lot as far as who's who in the zoo. My concentration is solely on us,
yep,
and that's not disrespecting anybody. I just think we've got to get us right, yep, before we, you know, start looking too far ahead. I guess from round one, it's a bit hard to do any reconnaissance for. I mean, Torquay have got a very good and established list,
yep,
so I'll lean on Dave for that. After that, every game's video,
yep,
so we can do our research each week.
Yep. Playing on the Friday, do you get in the car on the Saturday and are you off to Barwon Heads and Drysdale or Ammo's and Queenscliff and, you know, the Modder and Anglesey at night to go and, you know, even if it's a quarter or a half, to get a bit of a feel?
Yeah, most likely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll try and see as much footy as I can live. Yeah. It's great to have it video, but unless you're there live, you don't see,
yeah,
what you want to see.
Are you a sort of a note taker as well? Are you there with pen and paper or the phone? And
yeah, if you saw my phone, I've got files for everything. I'll write a lot of things down. I'll wake up at 2 o'clock and I'll write something down, or, yeah, watch something and, yeah, certainly note it.
Nothing short of well prepared.
Well, if I've got an excuse at the end, it can't be that I wasn't prepared.
Yep. Who's going to captain the club? Have you made that decision yet?
Yeah, Jake Wilkie.
Yep.
So Jake is new to the club. He has played a handful of games. So Jake came from Balan, where he was skipper there. Jake's a school teacher. Actually, a whole leadership group are all school teachers,
yep,
which is no surprise. Jake's great. He speaks really well to the group. He's only 24,
yep,
I think, as well. So he's at that same age.
Does he bridge the gap between the kids and the experienced? Is that a good way to look at it?
Yeah, I think he does. Yeah, looking... a couple of hours. So it's like, I'm going to say Funky's old. Glenn's, yeah, old, but yeah. Glenn's been in leadership roles as well. So he can do it from his end.
Yep.
Jake does it from a leadership perspective, but we've also got some of our young guys. They're leaders in their groups, in their social groups. So we've got some good leadership through the club.
Yep. No pressure on you in round two. I understand that's past Players Day, and might be a premiership reunion as well. So you really talk about being on show the first couple of weeks.
The premiership reunions are great. That's what we play for. So yeah, if you get a chance, yeah. I mean, it's different to Anzac Day. That's on its own. But if you get a chance to play in front of, I've been huge on our boys about getting our ex premiership players into the club and getting to know them and making sure they're involved with where we're going. It sort of got drilled into me when I first came that the club is in a very similar position to what it was when Brendan McCartney took over
about 30 years ago.
Group.
Yep.
And we want to really draw on that history and bring those guys back into where we are now.
Pete, always a pleasure to talk footy with you. It's been fun, and I'm looking forward to seeing you in action coaching because, we know your background and it's a pretty impressive one, and we look forward to seeing what you can do with the Grubbers. There's some kids and you've got a massive population base. It's going to be kids coming through left, right and centre in the future, and you'll have fun guiding them through, and we hope that you can get the Grubbers back to finals. Good luck with that, and thanks for taking the time to have a chat with us today.
Thanks, Kingy. Cheers, mate.
Thanks for listening to this edition of K-Rock Football's Coaches Catch Up. For other editions and the latest local news, head to krockfootball.com.au.